Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. I believe all beings possess an innate ability to heal. And one of my intentions for this year is to connect with more people like you who are seeking to work intuitively with that ability. I took a deep breath and registered to join the artists, healers, and intuitive readers at the Moonbow Metaphysical Spring Expo, which is taking place on Saturday and Sunday, March 30th and 31st in Saranac Lake, New York. We're being hosted by Hotel Saranac, which has a history of paranormal activity and should be a wonderful setting for the expo. If you're local enough to come by, put it on your calendar. There's a link in the show notes to my event page, and you can watch my socials for more details. Well, it's the second episode of the month, and that means Jen Van Manschoten is back to the podcast with me. She's going to talk about intuition and how you can develop yours. Jen puts her own intuition to use as an amazing tarot reader and teacher, a maker of gorgeous magical gemstone jewelry, and as a shamanic Reiki master practitioner. Jen is also a musician who must have an enchanted ukulele because the songs she writes for it are just wonderful and not at all like the ukulele music I'm used to hearing. She's out on the socials as Hot Mess Healing, and you'll find her link in the show notes. Jen, it is so great to have you back again, and I am really excited for what you're bringing today. You're going to clarify a lot for us. Take it away.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back, and I hope I can add a little clarity here. So what I want to talk about today, and this is actually a great time of year, the energy is right around this time of year for it. I want to talk about intuition, and I want to talk about recognizing the different types of intuition and talking about where intuition lives in our bodies. And talk about clarity as well, you know, talking about way, you know, we hear that a lot. We hear people talking about ways to get clear and how to refine clarity. So let me just say, I'm just going to start off by saying this is a really difficult thing for a lot of us, especially those of us living here in the United States and mostly in the Western hemisphere. You know, we live in this end stage capitalist society where clarity is kind of a hard thing to come by. We are bombarded constantly with messages of scarcity and advertising and, you know, manufactured scarcity, manufactured crises that, you know, manufactured problems that we didn't even know were problems. And for most of us, it's really hard to escape this messaging. And if you think about it, it's really kind of everywhere we look. You know, I kind of realized that things were getting out of hand with this, you know, years ago when I stopped at the gas pump to fill up my gas tank. And lo and behold, as I was pumping gas, as soon as I started pumping gas, this monitor switched on, this TV monitor switched on and started like bombarding me with like these really loud, obnoxious, over-the-top commercials. And I was just sitting there trying to pump my gas. And I was just like, I hate it here. it was really overstimulating. And, you know, it was like, wow, like you can't even find a couple of moments of quiet, you know, pumping your gas. Now, you know, some genius marketing person decided that they were going to take those few moments of silence that we have when we're pumping our gas to distract us even further with more commercials, you know. So, you know, you think about things like this and you think, well, how are we supposed to find any clarity on, you know, anything, you know, on any of our day-to-day stuff, let alone our big life pictures when, you know, we're being bombarded like this 24/7, 365. So, you know, from there, you know, I would say, I would venture a guess that most people listening to this podcast right now are aware that on some level, they are sensitive to energy. Like they can feel things, they notice things that maybe other people don't pick up on. You know, many of us have noticed that we can kind of feel into the subtle layers of things, you know, or, you know, like I realized when I was a kid, you know, like I was able to kind of get under the skin of the issue. And, you know, that's a really helpful ability. And it helps even more if you can refine it and if you can practice it, right? excuse me. So, you know, pretty much all of us, before I go into this, you know, I just want to state again, and I know I've stated it before, but I'll state it again, that we are all born with natural intuitive abilities and gifts as children. And I've seen that so many times over and over again, whether it was, you know, my interactions with children when I used to teach kids yoga. That was really eye-opening, noticing how intuitive these kids were with their bodies. And, you know, or whether I was, when I was selling jewelry at the farmer's market, and I would inevitably attract children to my table because, you know, lots of pretty, colorful, shiny things. And the kids would come right up and pick up something that they loved. And, you know, like right away, they knew exactly what they were drawn to. And it was such a contrast to watch the adults who would kind of like hem and haw and, you know, they would pick something up and they'd look at it and they'd put it down. Excuse me. And then they'd come back to it. And when I would tell them what that particular stone represented or the energy behind that stone, you know, you'd see the light bulb go off and they'd be like, oh, I need this. And it's like, yeah. Like, so, you know, it's still there. It's still there within us, but we need to learn how to bring it out. We need to learn how to trust it. And we need to learn how to refine that clarity. And it kind of reminds me, when I was in college, it kind of reminds me of the process that I learned about. So one of the things when I was in college and I studied environmental science and urban planning, I did a lot of projects, mostly down in Newburgh, New York. And we did a lot of projects that involved daylighting streams. And if you don't know what that means, it means, you know, we would go and we would find, you know, where these natural rivers and streams had existed at one point, but had been enclosed either in, you know, either in giant concrete pipes or, you know, they'd been buried under layers and layers of concrete and development and, you know, all these things. And, you know, they were finding, you know, at the time, this was 30 years ago, but they were finding at the time that there was a lot of value to be had. There was, you know, a lot of good things to be done by daylighting these streams and finding them and kind of busting them out of their concrete casings and bringing them back to the surface. And this is a lot like what I say when I teach about intuition. This is very much the process of learning how to use your intuition, learning how to trust your intuition. It's like bringing that to light. It's like bringing that stream that's been closed off for so many years. It's that process of bringing it to light. And, you know, and I'm sure most of us can remember, I'm sure pretty much all of us have things that we can remember from when we were children, you know, when we trusted our intuition and it was spot on. You know, we all have those things. So it's important to remember that and to learn how to refine it and trust it. So when we talk about intuition, the one thing that comes to mind most of the time, people think immediately clairvoyance, you know, and the word clairvoyance literally means clear sight, you know. And so there's that idea of clarity, but there are many ways that we can receive intuitive messages. The most common ones that you hear about are clairvoyance, which is clear sight, which means you might see images or pictures in your head. Sometimes for me, clairvoyance means I'll see like a word or a sentence, right? And then there's also clairaudience, meaning you may hear something, you may hear a sound, or you may hear music, or, you know, you'll hear a voice or something. You may hear somebody speak words, even though there's nobody there, right? That's clairaudience. And the third one is clairsentience, which is a little harder to define, but I refer to it as knowing without knowing, just kind of like when you get those intuitive downloads, like all of a sudden you'll realize that this is something that you've known all along, but you weren't aware of it. It was just right beneath the surface there. And now all of a sudden it's there. So people who work with their intuition, they may experience only one of these, or you may experience all three. Most people will have one of these that's much stronger than the others. For me, it's mostly clairvoyance and it's clairsentience. Those are the two that I notice 99% of the time in myself. But it may be, but everybody's different, so it may be something different for you. So when we're talking, again, you know, when we're talking about this, another thing that's important is to be able to slow down long enough to identify where you feel these intuitive hits in your body. You know, most of us will notice something on a physical level when these kinds of things happen. And for me personally, and again, it may be different for other people, but for me personally, what I notice is 99% of the time, these sort of messages, these sort of intuitive hits, these downloads, I notice them developing in the third eye, in my third eye chakra, and then they kind of drop down into my heart, where there's this process of discernment that goes on, where I can kind of like feel into the message and figure it out and feel it out that way. And so I want to talk a little bit about the difference between the third eye and the heart chakra, right? Nine times out of 10, when I'm working with my intuition, nine times out of 10, it starts in my heart chakra. It starts in my heart center. And I think this is true for a lot of people. Most people think that the third eye is where all of your intuition lies. But in reality, and from the work that I've done, I've come to understand that most of our intuition actually resides in the heart chakra. And it's that third eye chakra that doesn't so much give us the intuitive hits, but it's sort of like the portal. It's sort of like the door where it comes in. And the other thing with the third eye, because it's not, you know, intuition doesn't necessarily reside in your third eye chakra. But what you will notice as you start to activate your third eye chakra, it's almost this sensation of being able to see beyond. And when I say that, I'm talking about things like, you know, if you are watching the news, or you are reading the paper or a magazine, you know, and you're reading a particular story, you know, a news story or something, you know, something described, you know, a situation described from a certain angle, having that third eye chakra balanced really will help you start to see it from more than one side. Like I was saying earlier, it'll kind of help you get down into the subtle layers and the subtle energy and the meat of the situation. You know, instead of just taking everything at face value, it can really help you kind of understand what else is going on and what other influences may be at play. And then when you realize that, again, you know, that information drops down into the heart chakra where you process it and comes up as, you know, it comes up as, you know, like, well, do I trust this? You know, what is this telling me? There's a lot of discernment. There's a lot more discernment than you think would happening in the heart chakra. Because you think, you know, does this, you know, you think up in your head, but then you kind of start to feel into it. Like, does this feel right? You know? And again, you know, and you may feel it in other places in your body. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit as well. You know, you may feel it in other places in your body, but, you know, most of the time when we're just starting to get back into, you know, for anyone who has not used their intuition in a very long time, you'll start to notice it more beginning probably, you know, because I'm saying everybody will have a slightly different experience, but, you know, 99% of the time you'll start to notice it in your third eye and your heart chakras. You'll start to notice it between those two. There are a couple of gemstones as well that you can use to kind of strengthen and balance that connection. Amethyst is a very, very good one for that. Amethyst will help foster and support that connection between crown, third eye, and heart. Amazonite is another one. Excuse me. Amazonite is another one that helps between those, helps with those connections. And the Amazonite also will help with your throat chakra to help you kind of communicate and express these intuitive hits that you're getting. It's probably one of the reasons why it's one of my favorite stones to wear and work with, the Amazonite. I have a friend who calls it amazingite, and she's not wrong. I can't say she's wrong. And also, any kind of, you know, purple stones. So fluorite is another good one. There's a few good ones that you can, you know, and you may have a different one that you love. You know, malachite is another one, lapis lazuli, you know, those are just some of like the classic, apatite, blue apatite. Those are just some of the classic stones that we use to enhance and nurture our intuition. So now you might be wondering, okay, so how do we develop our intuition? How do we develop this sense of clarity, you know? And there are a bunch of ways that you can do this. You can, you know, and the most important thing to do, the most important way to do it is to give your brain a break. And when I say give your brain a break, I mean switching off electronics, turn off your TV, turn off your phone. I kind of struggle with this one a little bit ever since I got a new Kindle because I love to read before I go to bed at night. And the Kindle makes it, really easy to just grab a new book and download a new book and start reading something new. But that is one way to give your brain a break, And if you can, it helps to switch off your computers, your TVs, your phones. Just turn everything off about an hour before you go to bed. And for those of us, for some of us who feel, who notice that feeling of being overstimulated all the time, you'll really start to note, the first few nights, you'll really start to notice when you switch everything off. You really start to notice when you start to power down, and you'll feel it in your body as well. So that's the first way to do it. It'll also help you sleep better at night as well. So there's another benefit to that. Second way to do that, practice regular breath work exercises or pranayama. There are so many studies that have been done over the years about how regular breath work can actually induce altered states of consciousness, as well as having profound effects on your physical body. These things, they can do things like lower your heart rate, they can improve your cognitive abilities, and they can improve your relaxation response, right? And all of these things are great if you are working on, if you are working on intuition and trying to, trying to nurture that sense of clarity in yourself. Another way to do it is gentle yoga. And I'm not talking about, like crazy hard physical Ashtanga, vinyasa. No, that's great. It has its place, but you need to slow things down. You need to really slow things down and give yourself a chance to come into your body. So, even if it's just like 5 or 10 minutes of really slow, gentle, mindful movements, like simple as you can, things like simple side stretches or neck rolls or gentle leg stretches. And again, when you combine those with slow, deep breathing, right? That's a type of pranayama, just simple, slow, deep breathing. Just 10 minutes of this will help put the brakes on an overactive nervous system when you feel like you're completely overstimulated. It creates that sense of safety in your body so that you can just kind of slow down and notice what's there from a safe place. The next one that I like to tell people about, it's something that I use with my ukulele students a lot, is silence. And there are sometimes, because I work from home, I work at home, and it's usually just me and the dog all day. Me and the dog and the fish. So sometimes, like especially like if I'm working on a big wholesale order or something like that, I like to have, I'll put the TV on in the background. I'll binge something on Netflix that I've seen like 100,000 times. It's like my comfort shows, my emotional support shows. But there are other times when it's great to just leave the TV off, leave the radio off, and just sit in silence, And it's not even silence. You'll start to realize it's not even silence because you'll start to notice things. Like on those days when I have the TV and the radio off, like I can actually hear the sound of the wood stove as it warms up and cools down. You can hear like the click of the metal expanding and contracting. You might even be able, if it's quiet enough, you might even be able to hear planes or jets outside going overhead. You'll start to notice the sound of the cars. Like we live close enough to the road. We live on a pretty major road. You'll start to notice the sounds of the cars going up and down the road. And if you can get outside, even if you can get outside. And again, if you live in a city or a very urban area, I can definitely recommend getting a little set, getting a set of earplugs to help kind of filter things out a lot, which are very helpful. But where I live, You know, I can walk outside. There's acres and acres behind me that have just trees and no people. But there's lots of trees and animals. And, you know, when I walk outside, I can walk in that quiet. And if I get quiet enough, you know, I can hear the leaves of the aspen trees shaking, and I can hear the birds. I can hear my chickens making trouble somewhere. You know, you can even hear just the sound of the wind brushing through the branches of a tree. You can focus your attention on each sound one at a time. So even if you live in an urban area or a city, you know, you can find a park or some kind of a green space to go and start to refine that sense of hearing. And then, you know, as an extension of that, another way you can develop a sense of clarity in the way you can develop your intuition is to pick one of your senses every day, whether it's hearing, sight, touch, smell, taste, and focus on just that sense for an entire day. And this is one of my favorite intuitive exercises that I do with my tarot students, where you take a week, you know, you can do it in a week. You can just pick one sense every day and start to notice things from the standpoint of that sense. You know, so when you're making breakfast the first day, you might really pay attention to what your eggs look like in the frying pan, right? The next day, you might notice what they sound like as they're cooking. Obviously taste, you know, with your eggs, that's pretty self-explanatory. And smell, right? You might notice, have you ever noticed the way eggs smell? You know, like if you're a pregnant person, then you probably have noticed the way eggs smell when you're, you know, if you're a pregnant person, you've noticed the way everything smells probably. but for most of us, you know, it's kind of an exercise in developing those senses and noticing where you feel it, you know, where you notice it in your body, you know, and it's not, maybe it's not just in your nose, you know, maybe you notice it somewhere else. You know, and touch. Maybe you poke a finger into your eggs and see what it feels like. You know, does it feel gelatinous? Did you overcook them? Are they a little too hard? You know, take time every day to pick one of those senses and focus on how you experience the world from the vantage point of that particular sense, you know. And this is a great, you know, it's a great way because you'll also start to be able to pick up where you notice these things in your body. Okay. And it's a really great way. It's a really, right now, especially, it's a really profound experience to be able to slow down and do this kind of thing, especially when you think about how rushed and frenzied the whole world feels right now. You know, there's a great book I can recommend by Bill McKibben called The Age of Missing Information. And he talks a lot about these kinds of things. He talks a lot about, you know, how we seem to be bombarded with more information than ever. But is it really information that we need? Is it information that's useful? You know, what do we do with it? And, you know, what's missing? And so you might be wondering, you know, kind of like, well, what does any of this have to do with tarot? And all of this is important because it helps us learn how to read tarot without having to look up every single meaning of every single card in the little books that come with our decks. You know, when you really want to do a good, meaningful reading, you know, the reason why we read tarot, the reason why we practice reading tarot is so that we can kind of get a grip on what the underlying energy of a situation is, right? And, you know, sometimes, yeah, you know, like it can be helpful if you get a brand new deck. It can be helpful if you, you know, start to read through the book and, you know, you start to learn the artists and the author's intentions in creating the deck. But after that, you know, it's it makes the whole experience of tarot that much more meaningful and that much more profound if you can simply look at the card and trust what comes to you, right? And I want to say here too as well that you can read tarot and you can come up, you know, depending on what you're reading for, you know, you might have an experience where what comes through for you is completely different than what the traditional or what the keywords are for that particular card. And that's a really powerful experience to have. And for me, it was kind of like, you know, it was like that moment when you take the training wheels off your bike. It was like, it was just like such an immense moment of joy for me when I realized I was getting this information and that I could trust it, you know, and that it was meaningful, not just for me, but it was meaningful for the person that I was reading for as well, you know. And that's really, that's another important aspect of tarot, is it helps create this connection with other people. So I have a little exercise that I like to do with my tarot students, and, you know, I'll share it with you here and you can try it. So take a deck, you know, it can either be a brand new deck or it can be a deck that you've worked with for years and years, you know, and I find it to be a useful exercise for both of these things, you know, for getting to know a new deck, it's a really helpful thing to do. And for a deck that you've had for years and years, you know, like maybe decades, it's a great way to get a fresh perspective on the cards. And, you know, it's a great way to go back to like that beginner's mind and get a new perspective on what these, you know, what this deck can offer. So the first thing that you do, obviously, is get yourself relaxed. And that can be, you know, whether you put on some soothing music, some relaxing music, you know, you can light a candle, whatever little ritual helps you kind of step away from your day and from the world of the ordinary. Okay. Whatever you need to do to help you step away from that, go for it. And then take a few deep breaths. Again, that night, those nice, slow, deep breaths will help calm your body. They'll help calm your mind, and it'll help you focus. And then shuffle that deck as much as you want, however you like to do it. There's many ways to shuffle. Find a way that you like. And then draw three cards at random and put them in front of you. And I should also have said you need a pen and paper to do this exercise. You need a pen and paper. So, or a journal would even be better. If you keep a tarot journal, that would be even better. So take the cards and lay them out in front of you. And turn over, when you're ready, turn over the first card. And start to take a look at it. And don't start writing as soon as you look at it. But really take a few minutes to look at that card and start to notice what pops out at you first. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be like a keyword or a phrase or anything. It can be like a color or a number or a story, something, you know, whatever pops into your head. And again, you know, try not to worry too much about what you think you already know about the card. This is pure intuition here. This is like, and again, this is another type of intuition. I want to say this is coming from your gut intuition, right? An interesting little ADHD aside here. I remember learning in one of the yoga workshops that I took like many, many years ago, probably 10 years ago. I remember learning that your enteric system, your stomach and your small intestine, your large intestine, it has literally thousands and thousands more nerve endings than your central nervous system has. So when you say you feel something in your gut, that's why you feel it in your gut, because there's like a whole separate nervous system in your gut there that's feeding you information. So this is like gut tarot. Okay. What do you notice? You know, what pops up for you, and just write it down. And it doesn't matter what it is. You know, there's no right or wrong answers. It's just simply observation. Okay. And then when you're ready, when you feel done with that one, move on to the next card and do the same thing. And it's really important to write this by hand. You know, it's really important to write this by hand because, you know, we're doing something that's very intuitive. You know, doing this practice, it's very intuitive, but writing it with your hand on a piece of physical paper and not typing it on a computer, it really kind of helps keep us grounded a little bit in our body. And it makes that connection all that, you know, all that much stronger. So do this again, you know, for all three cards. Then when you've gotten to the last card, when you're done with the last card, take a look at all three of them together. And you can take a quick look at what you've, you know, what you've written about each one, and then flip over to a new page in your journal or a new sheet of paper and look at all three of them and do the same thing, but looking at them as a whole instead of looking at them as each one as a separate entity. You know, look for parallels, look for opposites, look for things that are in common with all three cards, you know. Look at the differences between all three cards, and you might start to feel a story coming together. You might be able to piece together some kind of a story about what's going on in these three cards, right? And again, there's no right or wrong answer. This is purely intuitive. This is purely just observation and noticing. And it's a really powerful exercise to do. You know, especially if you kind of feel like you've gotten to a point in your practice where you're stuck, you know, if you've gotten to a point in your practice where, you know, you kind of feel like your intuition needs a little tune up, which, you know, it happens, you know, we all get distracted and we get busy with life. And sometimes it's like, yeah, you know, this is like a kind of a nice way to sort of drop back into that essence, you know, to that intuitive essence of who we are. You know, and then the nice thing about this is, you know, you can, it doesn't matter if you do this, you know, just purely as an intuitive exercise, or if you do it as a reading for yourself or for someone else, you know, you can use this practice. You can use this practice as a way to do a reading for someone. And I find it's really, you know, again, it's a beautiful way to do a reading for someone. And this is one way that I really enjoy doing readings for other people. You know, and you can do it with, and the other great thing about this is you can also do it with oracle cards. You know, you don't have to stick to tarot cards. You can do it with oracle cards as well. And, you know, you'll get the same kind of results. You'll get this, you know, it's a beautiful exercise in working with your intuition and finding that clarity. You know, and so, you know, one final thing, you know, one final thought about this whole idea of seeking clarity, you know, seeking clarity, creating clarity, you know, again, seeking clarity, it's kind of like seeking balance. It's not something you can really look for, but it's something you can create. You know, you can find that clarity. It's not hiding from you. It's there. You just kind of have to know how to nourish it and nurture it. Right. And the more you practice, you know, the more you practice these kinds of things, the more you practice this slowing down, the more you're going to be able to start to see things from a different angle or from all, you know, from other perspectives. And you'll really start to notice that. And you'll start to notice, you know, you'll start to notice that these things really start to make a difference in how you, you know, in how you just, you know, live day to day. You know, you may find yourself starting to choose different things. You know, you may find yourself starting to, you know, starting to choose to, you know, starting to choose to turn off all the electronics. You know, you might find yourself choosing more often to be in silence, you know, because there's something that's just beautifully nourishing about that practice. There's something that really, and especially this time of year, you know, you can kind of feel we're starting to move towards the equinox and things are starting to pick up, you know. And again, if you're someone listening to this, you probably are sensitive to these kinds of energies, but, you know, this is the time of year when, you know, you can kind of start to notice that very subtle energy, that very subtle movement in the world around you. And being able to drop into this place of stillness, being able to drop into this place of clarity is a really beautiful way to honor that and to nourish yourself. So hopefully this will be helpful for someone. And yeah.
Well, it was helpful for me. Thank you. You know, we can all use a little bit of an intuitive tune-up to help us with the, you know, not just the big stuff. I mean, I practice it in shamanic Reiki all the time, but sometimes I forget that it's also an important part of daily life when we really start to hone in on it. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And I look forward to having you back next month.
Me too.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week, and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.